This is lesson four of the Sermon on the Mount. We'll be looking at the meek. Just a quick review of the previous talk. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We saw that mourning is not just over death, but it's over sin, especially in our own lives, and mourning over the spiritual ruin of the world and even of God's people. And this is how the early Christians interpreted Matthew 5:4, as we saw. Such an attitude is also exemplified by many women in the Gospels, and especially by Jesus himself. Now, yes, those who mourn will be comforted, but sometimes that comfort is delayed. And last, we must strive for soft hearts. That's just a review of yesterday's talk. Now, to our passage, Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I doubt many of us listening to this talk use the word meek frequently. It's a word that's almost these days totally confined to religion, or maybe to experts in the English language. It's just a word we don't use very much. And maybe that's why, in part, we tend to equate meek with weak. But as we'll see, it isn't weak. In this talk, I want to help us to see what it looks like in the Bible, how the early Christians understood it, and also what is meant by that phrase, inherit the earth, and then we'll have application, the way we normally end these talks. Well, I went to my big dictionary, my Oxford English Dictionary, and I see that meek comes from an Old Norse word, that's the language of the Vikings. The word is mjukr, and mjukr means soft, or pliant, or gentle. And I remembered when we lived in Sweden, I used to enjoy mjukglass. I'll explain that in just a moment. But let me back up a few years. I had just finished high school. I was about to start university, but I had a summer job, and it paid quite well. It was $2.50 an hour. I was scooping Italian ice at Six Flags. Six Flags is an amusement park. This is in the New York area. I remember the temperatures were crazy hot, in the low 100s, that is around 40 degrees Celsius. And the Italian ice was hard as a rock. It was so hard to scoop, so much work just to get the shavings and to fill up an order. And then I had a very different experience 3 years later. I'm about to start grad school, and I had the opportunity to do my final term in Oxford. And my father gave me a gift. He said, I'm going to give you a Eurail pass. That means you could travel anywhere in Europe for 3 weeks. And I thought that was a great thing to do before this final term. One place I'd always wanted to see was Sweden, partly because I've got some Swedish blood in me, and partly it just seemed really interesting, that part of the world, Norway, Sweden. And I made a discovery. I discovered mjukglass. Now, mjukglass is soft ice cream. And I understood when I later lived in Sweden that people love the stuff and they eat it in the winter too. It's not just a summer thing. Even in the winter, it can be quite cold. People enjoy that soft ice cream. Well, then I moved to Boston a few weeks later. I'm starting grad school. And I learned that the brothers love to drop by this convenience store where you can serve yourself soft ice cream. It's no effort. You just pull a lever and it comes out, and you can make it as high as you want, and it's only 60 cents. So when I think of meekness, and then I think of mjukglass, that is soft ice cream and Italian ice, I think of human hearts. We can be hard and very difficult to shape, or we can be soft. We can be meek in the presence of God. Well, enough about me. The definition of meek in this same Oxford Dictionary, gentle, courteous, kind, merciful, indulgent, free from self-will, piously humble and submissive, patient and unresentful. And in physical applications, it means not violent or strong, but gentle. Well, the dictionary is not our authority for how to understand the Bible, but sometimes it can shed light. Really, we need to look in Scripture to understand what the Lord is looking for. What does meekness look like? The first example I thought of was Mary that is the sister of Martha, sitting at Jesus' feet at the end of Luke 10. Yes, there's a lot to do, but she's calm and she's submissive. She's learning in the same position as any man would learn at the feet of her teacher, taking it all in. Jesus says, Mary chose what was better. In the early church, there's a great quote from the Didache. Didache was written in the late first century or early second. And let me just read a little bit from chapter 3. You shall be meek, since the meek shall inherit the earth. Be long-suffering, merciful, guileless, gentle, and good. Always tremble at the instruction which you have heard. You shall not exalt yourself, nor let your soul get overconfident. Do not join your soul with the lofty ones. Rather, let it associate with the righteous and lowly. Well, that's quite a charge, isn't it? Not just to be patient, but to be, he says, to tremble at the instruction we've heard. I'm pretty sure that's an allusion to the passage in Isaiah that we looked at last time and the time before. And then we shouldn't exalt ourselves or get overconfident. And even the people we spend time with, it warns us of being with people who are overconfident, who think more of themselves than they should. But he says, be with the righteous and the lowly. Wow. Well, with the example of Mary, we've got a little bit more insight from Didache. Of course, the ultimate example of meekness is Jesus. And he invited us to follow him with these words. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Matthew 11:29. Well, if Jesus is meek, meek cannot mean weak. And yet still some have mistaken this mistaken notion that a meek person is timid, dull, and non-assertive. But Jesus shows us what meekness is. He was certainly none of those things. He certainly wasn't dull or timid or non-assertive or nonchalant. He showed us that we can be bold and assertive and yet also be meek and lowly. And these are not on different occasions. This is just who we are deep down, because it's a posture before God, which, of course, means also a posture before others. But what about this phrase, inherit the earth? The meek will inherit the earth. What did Jesus actually mean? Now, throughout history, the meek are usually the ones who get run over. The powerful trample them down and evict them from their own property, you know, rob them. So there would be far too many counterexamples for this to be referring to this life. And also, there are thousands of people in prison for their Christian faith and who've been deprived of everything, not just property, but family. You could even say dignity, or they try to. So the inheritance is in the next age, not this age. And that is what the New Testament teaches. Now, the word earth, of course, should all be understood against an Old Testament background. In Hebrew, the word earth is the word land. It's the same word. And originally, it seems to have meant inheriting the land of Israel, the promised land. But that concept broadens. We understand the earth to be a planet. I mean, in essence, it's our world. So I don't think the Bible is saying that if you're meek, you'll inherit that very small bit of real estate, which is Israel. It really is very small. It's much more than that. And in passages like 2 Peter 3, we read that the righteous will inherit the earth, a new heaven and earth, at the resurrection. We also see this in the book of Revelation. So inheriting the earth is speaking of the next age. Well, how does this passage apply to you and me? Well, one thing is we shouldn't respond to frustration with force. That is physical or verbal brutality. That means not returning violence with violence. And that has big implications for politics, for journalism, for military might. We're not to be like the world. We reject the weapons of the world, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10. Another thought is this. We need to learn to admire the quiet person who's godly. And I don't mean we should imitate those who move slowly and don't seem to have conviction. I don't mean that. But I'm talking about the people who should be real heroes and role models for us. These are people who are gentle. They're meek. They're humble before others because they're humble before God. And that also means that we learn to reject most of the role models of the world, which are usually anything but meek. Is that not right? And as we read through the Gospels, let's try to notice the qualities of Jesus, which are encapsulated in the Beatitudes. So we can see, in what way did Jesus mourn? In what way was he meek or a peacemaker, and so forth? We have the eight Beatitudes we'll be looking at, but this is actually a great principle for understanding many passages of Scripture. If you want to know what it meant, then let's ask, well, how did Jesus live? What does this look like in his life, as we're called to imitate him and live a life of love? So if you want to, that's Ephesians 5:1. If we want to understand exactly what that looks like, then we keep that in our mind and we read the Gospels and we spend some time really thinking about what this means, thinking about our Lord. Well, I hope that's helpful to you. And tomorrow we'll be looking at Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Bye.